Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 198, Running the Race. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on June 13th, 2021.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day which you have made. We are glad and rejoicing in it, Lord, because your goodness is unsurpassed. Your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness, Lord. We're so, so privileged to be able to serve you, to honor you, and to love you in this place today. So thank you, Jesus, for everything that you did to pay the price so that we could live in victory. For it's in your mighty name that we have that victory. And it's by faith that overcomes the world that we can walk in that victory. And for it, we give you glory and honor and praise today, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 14, verse 32 says, godliness makes a nation great, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Sometimes we get really disappointed and disillusioned with our lives because of all of the things that are going on around us and all the stuff that we see coming down that we don't appreciate or don't like, or don't like the direction things are going, either in our personal lives, our spiritual lives, our family lives, or our nation's life. And it can be really disheartening and, bring on all kinds of emotions, fear, depression, anger, frustration, all of those kinds of things. And so in the midst of that, we reach for some things, we try to reach for things that bring satisfaction in life. But it's been that way throughout history. There have been ups and downs, there have been ins and outs, and people have served God and then not served God, and they've walked with God and then walked away from God, and nations have served the Lord and then gone away from God. I mean, just look at the world that we live in. Europe was once a Christian nation, and now you can hardly find Christianity anywhere in Europe. So, I mean, I'm not disparaging those who are faithful and those who have not walked the other way, but the overwhelming majority seems to be going the other direction. And so, we cry out for our own nation. That our nation would come back to God, that we would be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for everybody. We want to see that. We desperately hunger and thirst for a nation that's turning back to God. And we're encouraged by the reports of revival and new, fresh outpourings of the Spirit in our nation, in our cities, and across the nation as things are happening. But Psalm 106 kind of chronicles a little bit of this kind of history with the children of Israel. It says, this is speaking about when they came out of Egypt, the first part of this, when they came out of Egypt, how they reacted and responded to the things that were happening around them. In verse 32 of Psalm 106, it says, at Meribah, they too angered the Lord, causing Moses serious trouble. They made Moses angry, and he spoke foolishly. Israel failed to destroy the nations in the land as the Lord had commanded them. Instead, they mingled among the pagans and adopted their evil customs. They worshiped their idols, which led to their downfall. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, by sacrificing them to the idols of Canaan. They polluted the land with murder. They defiled themselves with evil deeds, and their love of idols was adultery in the Lord's sight. That's why the Lord's anger burned against his people, and he abhorred his own special possession. He handed them over to the pagan nations, and they were ruled by those who hated them. Their enemies crushed them and brought them under their cruel power. Again and again he rescued them, but they chose to rebel against him. They were finally destroyed by their sin, and even so, he pitied them in their distress and listened to their cries. He remembered his covenant with them and relented because of his unfailing love. He even caused their captors to treat them with kindness. Save us, O Lord our God. Gather us back from among the nations so that we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord. So let's do that. Let's say amen.
Amen.
That means so be it. And praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
For he is worthy to be praised, isn't he? Praise God. So even though there are ups and downs, ins and outs, there can be a good outcome when people come back to God, when they get their focus right, and when they begin to challenge the things that are around them with the goodness of God and with his faithfulness and with their commitment and dedication and consecration to the things that are right. So this morning I want to talk to you for a few minutes about bread that satisfies. I'm taking this from the book of John, the 6th chapter. So let's go to that chapter, John chapter 6, and read this story about Jesus. In verse 22 it says, "The next day the crowd had stayed on the far shore that saw the disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized that Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there. They got into the boat and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake, and they asked, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?' Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs.'" So this is an important point. Why do you really want Jesus in your life? Why do you really want him walking with you, and why do you really want to walk with him? Is it because he's brought the bread, or is it because he wants to show you something in your life? Verse 27, he says, "Don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work that God wants from you." Now listen to this. This is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. They answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread from God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So I want to look at several things concerning this, just about having satisfaction in life and reaching for the things that lead to satisfaction. Jesus had this to say about seeking satisfaction in life from Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Look at the birds." I told you I would get to the birds, right? He said, "Look at the birds," verse 26. "They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith?" So we can learn things from the birds. We can learn from their songs, and we can learn from their faith, their trust in God. So the question is, why do we have little faith? It may be because we're reaching for satisfaction in the wrong places. So I want to look at three areas of life where people strive for satisfaction. The first area is in the area of material things. You know, Jesus said that the heathen, the pagans, they all want material things too. But he says that your heavenly Father knows the things that you need. But let's look at this thing about material things. In Matthew chapter 6, in that same chapter where I read about the birds, he's talking about not worrying. In other words, do not fret about what you shall eat and what you shall drink and what you shall wear. He said, these things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers. Okay, so we're supposed to be different than the unbelievers. Amen?
Amen.
We're supposed to be the people who are carriers of the torch, or bring the light of the world, the salt of the earth, the ones that are the city on the hill. Amen? So he's saying to them, don't fret. Don't be like unbelievers. These things dominate their thoughts, the things they eat, the things they drink, the things they wear, the material things. They dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Don't be like that. And then he says some things about the grass and the flowers and the birds. He takes care of all of them. So if he takes care of all of them, won't he also take care of you? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Jesus said he will certainly care for you. And then we come to verse 33. Verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Have your priorities right concerning material things. Yes, of course you need food and clothing and shelter and all of the things that the unbelievers want as well. And surely that brings some measure of satisfaction in knowing that those things are provided for. But see to it that God is your source and not your job. God is your source and not your own energy. God is your source and not your own imagination, creativity, and career thoughts and so forth and so on. Put your source in the right place, and then all those things, Jesus said, will be added to you. So if you want bread that satisfies you, you need to have one simple truth. Because a lot of times people say, well, how do I get to that place where I'm not fretting, where I'm not concerned, where I'm not worried? How can I come to that place? It comes down to one simple truth. Jesus told them, John chapter 6, verse 29, we're going back there, this is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one whom he has sent. If you can get that right, then you can get the other things right. If you can get that right, then you can have peace in your heart concerning the material things that you need. A second area is the area of relationships. Relationships bring to many families and to many people big problems, because maybe they weren't treated right, or maybe someone in your close circle of friends or relatives or family has caused problems in the area of relationships. And then we need to look to the Word of God to find out how to navigate the troubled waters of relationships, because relationships are all around us. Some relationships are of our own choosing, some are not of our own choosing. So how do we navigate those waters? 2 Timothy chapter 2 gives us some counsel on this. In verse 24, Paul says to Timothy, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. So the first thing is not to quarrel, not to be quarrelsome. If you want to have satisfying relationships and find the bread of life in your relationships, you have to be the servant of the Lord who does not quarrel, who refuses to quarrel, who refuses to fuss, who refuses to fight, who refuses to retaliate, who refuses to get revenge. Shall not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So you notice here that Paul isn't saying it's okay for people to do stuff to you. He's not saying it's okay for them to be wrecking every relationship around them. He's acknowledging that they might be the problem. I mean, first of all, you have to look to see who is the problem. Is the problem me, or is the problem someone else? Amen? But if you're supposed to be the light and you're supposed to be the salt and you're supposed to be the one that's carrying the torch, the banner of faith, the banner of faithfulness, the banner of love that God has put in you, then you have to be different than other people. So what are the keys to that? Of course, being gentle, being able to teach, being patient, and being humble. And probably of all those, of those four things, gentleness, ability to teach, and patience, probably the hardest for most of us is to be humble. To be humble in the face of somebody that's wronged you. To be humble in the place of a hurt or a broken or an impaired relationship is sometimes really difficult, because, you know, obviously all of us have something in us that says, I'm right, they're wrong. I'm the just one in this case, and they're the unjust one in this case. I don't have to compromise because I'm right. I don't have to kneel or bow down to this because I'm right. And it's really easy to let the spirit of pride to rise up inside, I'm better than you. Maybe we don't say it that way, but everything in our actions, everything in our demeanor, everything in our retaliation and our response indicates that I've got a real problem with this and I've got a real problem with you. But a humble person refuses to quarrel, but is gentle, able to teach, patient, and humble. Humility begins to come out of the heart, not out of the emotions that are striking back in a relationship issue. So the question is, do you want the bread that satisfies, or don't you? If you want the bread that satisfies, there's one simple truth. Jesus said the only way that you can be gentle, able to teach, patient, and humble is to do this work that God wants from you, to believe in the one whom he has sent. Jesus is the source of all of those things. Jesus is the one who had all of those character traits that could build a relationship on the strength of the love of God and not on the actions of another person. So there's plenty of opportunity to fall out. There's plenty of opportunity to have bad relationships. There's plenty of opportunity to see things go wrong. But God placed you in the position you are so that you can be the light, so that you can be the hope, so that you can be the restorer of places to dwell in, the one who repairs the relationship and builds the bridge of love that reaches into the life of another person. So the third area I want to talk to you about, I'm just speaking about, you know, three areas today. There's probably more that we could address in terms of areas of satisfaction in life. But these are areas that everybody has to deal with. The area of material things, the area of relationships, and the third one is the area of healing. Psalm 103 says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Jesus, when he went to the cross, he was the source of forgiveness for mankind. And of course, we recognize that across Christianity, this is a well-known truth, a well-known doctrine, and almost no one will dispute this particular aspect of it. But then there comes the rest of this sentence that says, who heals all of your diseases. Jesus, the one who went to the cross for your sins, went to the cross for your sicknesses, your pains, your sufferings, all of those things that Satan has used to kill, steal, and destroy. And of these three things that we're talking about, material things, relationships, and healing, one of the aspects about healing, the reason that people are reaching for a healthy life is because you can have a lot of money, but if you're sick, it's really difficult to enjoy it. You can have material things, you know, everything that a person could wish for. But if you have not the health, the healing, the wellness, and the wholeness in your body to enjoy it, you've got a problem, because money is not going to buy this. And you can't enjoy anything that you have when you're not feeling well, when you're under it. So God has provided in Jesus everything that we need. He is the bread of life. You know, when we take communion together, we often refer to the broken body of Jesus as the source of our healing. He took our sins in his own body, of course, on the tree, so that we could be dead to sin and live for righteousness. But the end of that in 1 Peter 2:24 says, by his stripes we were healed. So healing and wellness and wholeness comes along with forgiveness at the cross. And Jesus, the bread of life, is the source of that. So when we break the bread and when we receive our healing, we can say truly, he was pierced, or he was wounded, bruised and crushed for us, and by his stripes we were healed. Psalm 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. This is speaking about the children of Israel that we read about before. They went through their ups and downs. They had their relationship problems. They had their challenges with material things. They had their challenges with sickness and disease, most of it brought on themselves by their own actions. And they had to come to God. But the Bible says that he sent his word and healed them. And so in the new covenant, we recognize that Jesus was the word made flesh. It says in like the first chapter of John, if you read the beginning of that, it says the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Grace is favor, full of favor and truth. Jesus came on the scene to bring back, to be the bread of life, to bring back satisfaction, the satisfaction that God provided for us in wellness, wholeness, and healing, so that we could enjoy material things, relationships, and all the other things that he's provided. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you were healed. So when you look at that term, chastisement of peace was upon him, what is that talking about? That's talking about the satisfaction of living in the presence of God and having his healing power flowing through you in such a magnificent way that it affects every area of your life. You can walk in wellness and wholeness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit because Jesus, the bread of life, has brought to you that kind of healing when he went to the cross. So do you want bread that satisfies? There's one simple truth, only one, that you need to endorse, and that is what Jesus told them. This is the work that God wants from you. Believe in the one that he has sent. So a lot of times we try to make it really complicated. How do we receive this? We have, you know, steps, you know, seven steps to healing. We have many steps to prosperity. You know, we have nice messages about that, about, you know, you sow and you're going to reap. We have all this information about how to have good relationships and how to reach out to people and how to walk the love walk and forsake the life of strife. Amen. So we have all of these things, and it's always steps, you know, five steps, three steps, 10 steps, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. You've got a multitude of steps. Nobody can remember the steps. Pastor, that sermon was really good. What did I say? I don't know. It was good. I don't remember any of the steps, but it was good. How are you going to implement something like that? So Jesus just breaks it down to one simple step. Can you remember this one step? Jesus said, this is the work that I want from you. Believe the one whom he has sent. Amen. Put your faith in Jesus. Yes. Put your trust in Jesus. That's the starting point and the ending point of every issue of life, whether it's in the area of material things, whether it's in the area of relationships, or whether it's in the area of healing. Put your trust in Jesus. Your trust is not misplaced when it's in him. It's the one simple truth that you need to really, really get a hold of in your life. Because if you put him first and his righteousness first, his kingdom first, you're believing in him, the one whom God sent to be the victory in your life. Just make it simple, keep it simple, preach it simple, live it simply, and you will have those things that brings true satisfaction in life. When things are tough and you have material needs, come to Jesus. He is the issue. He's the one. He's the provider. He's the Jehovah Jireh in your case. When you have issues in relationships, come to Jesus. Trust in Him. He's the healer of every kind of relationships. He's the healer of the hearts. He's the one of the restorer of paths to dwell in. When you have problems in your body and you have health issues and you're challenged, come to Jesus, because Jesus, the healer, is your victory. And keep your faith in Him. Put your trust in Him. If you've forgotten all of the other points, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody can come to the Father except through Him. And He is your answer. He's your ultimate hope and your victory.
Amen.
So if you've been struggling in any of these areas, or maybe something I didn't mention, the solution is this. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, in other words, when we see things are not going well, might not be going well in our finances, might not be going well with our material things, or it might not be going well in our relationships, or it might not be going well with our health. When we see that things are not going well, the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, or we just are ignoring this thing and just covering it over, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But then here's the solution. It says, if we confess our sins without making excuses and blaming others, I should add maybe in there, because this is the case, It's never my problem. It's never my issue. It's never my deal. It's always somebody else. It started in the garden, Adam said Eve did it. Eve said the devil did it. And it's been that way ever since. The easiest thing is to blame others around you, but it's not God's way. When you're looking to Jesus, the author, the developer of your faith, you cannot make excuses or blame others. But God is faithful, and He's just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. When we just come to Him. When we just come to the one who sent Jesus and confess it all, lay it out in front of Him. So if we're struggling in these areas, we just need to examine ourselves, come to the place of resolving this with God, the one who's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Aren't you glad that He's not holding anything against you?
Amen.
The Bible said that Jesus took all that stuff to the cross. And many times we're the worst on ourselves because we won't forgive ourselves. And then we won't forgive anybody around us, because we just got this stuff going off inside of us that's causing turmoil, causing things rising up inside that are not so nice, that sometimes are downright ugly. And you've got to leave that at the cross and walk away from it and never turn back. Okay, so you blew it. So you made a mistake. So you sinned. The Bible says that He's faithful and just. He forgives you. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Not some, not a little, not a bit of it. Not just kind of covers things over and makes it look nice on the surface. But it's gone. So never turn back. Never look back. Always look forward. Look to Jesus, the author, the developer, the finisher of your faith. And go for the bread that satisfies.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So back to John chapter 6. This is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one whom He has sent. It comes down to just one simple truth: to bring the bread that satisfies. In verse 26, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you. So He's looking at our motives. What's your motives for going after these things? What's your motives for seeking after God? Is it because He can give you bread, or is it because He is the bread of life? Not because you understood the miraculous signs, He says. He wants us to have an understanding of the deeper things of God, but He wants you to start at the simple place of just believing on Him, just trusting in Him, because He's the one that God sent to be the bread of life. And then verse 27, He says, so don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Leave your worries and your fears and your anxieties with Him. Don't be so concerned there, but spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. Spend your energy in the right places, Because when you're spending your energy in the right places, then you'll find satisfaction in the other areas. You'll be satisfied and content inside. When you're satisfied and content inside, the other things will begin to line up. Because he'll bring you solutions to problems. He'll bring you solutions to your material needs. He'll bring you solutions to your difficult relationships. He'll bring you solutions to your health issues. Because he is the one that has all of the information. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, as you get into the Word of God and you begin to hear his voice, solution after solution after solution will arise for you. The prophetic voices around you will begin to speak into your life. And if you'll receive what God is speaking through those who are believers, I mean true believers, I don't mean go out and find some wacky guy that says some kind of crazy thing over you or whatever, but those who you trust, those whom have led you, those who have poured into you, those who really care about you, they may have a prophetic word that will lift you up. So the word of God will come to you. The voice of the Holy Spirit will begin to speak through others. His still small voice on the inside of you will begin to lead you and guide you. Jesus is the bread of life. He'll lead you. The Holy Spirit will lead you to Jesus, the bread of life, the solution to every issue. Jesus really is the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the answer to every situation or circumstance that you are facing. Praise the Lord. So verse 32, it says, and now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. So here comes a problem. So everybody's saying, I want to put my trust in Jesus. I just can't see him. I want to put my trust in Jesus. I just can't feel it. I want to put my trust in Jesus, but I can't find him in this situation. So the issue is that we're looking for a physical reality when we need to see with our spiritual eyes and with our heart that Jesus is the solution. He's the answer. And when we find him in the middle of our heart and the spiritual, in a spiritual sense, then the other things begin to line up and you'll begin to get the solutions that you need. So verse 37, he says, however, those the Father has given me will come to me. I will never reject them. Your friends may reject you. They may turn you out. Your family may not like it that you serve Jesus. They may detest you. But Jesus says that everybody that the Father has given him will come to him, and he'll never, 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 never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. To do the will of God who sent him, not to do his own will. So when he's saying, just come to me, just come to me, I won't reject you. When he's saying to you, just believe me, just believe in me, just believe in the one the Father said, keep it simple, just believe in me, just trust me. When he's saying those things, he's saying that that's the will of the Father. So sometimes people have a really difficult time trying to get a hold of what's the will of God for my life. And especially, when you're in some difficult situations, whether it's financial or whether it's relationship or whether it's in your health, sometimes it's difficult to find the will of God. But his will is in his word. His will is there many times for us to see and to get a hold of, but we just don't see it. But when we begin to put our trust in Jesus, he begins to open our eyes to his will and his ways. The Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but it never does say that those ways and thoughts are unachievable and that we can't think his thoughts or that we can't adopt his ways. He never says that. He just says that those ways are higher. So we can take the higher way, and we can think the higher thoughts if we will first put our trust in Jesus. If we will first put our trust in the one who God sent, then we can begin to think in those ways and begin to live our life on a higher plane, even though things in the natural world may not be lining up and all the circumstances might not be favorable and all of the relationships might not have been healed yet in the manifestation of it. But as we trust in God, he'll begin to line those things up. Praise the Lord. Verse 39 says, "And this is the will of God, that that I should not lose one of these that he has given me." It's God's will that he not lose a single person, not one. So if you want to know what God's will is, if you boil it down to simple things, you can say, God's not going to lose me.
Amen.
Because he's not losing one. He said, I won't lose one of these he's given me, but I should raise them up on the last day. So this is good for this lifetime and for eternity beyond this lifetime. When you put your trust in Jesus, when you trust in the one that Jesus, that God sent to you, then you can have a storeroom of satisfaction for eternity. Praise the Lord. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. That's God's will for you. And when you see it, when you see it in your heart, and you make it yours by confessing Jesus as Lord, this belongs to you forever. He said, I will raise them up on the last day. That's God's promise to you. It's for now and it's for all of eternity. So what should we do? We should labor for bread that satisfies. Quit spending our energy on all of those other things, you know, trying to take our focus off of him. And spend our energy on the one simple truth. Jesus told them, this is the only word that God, this is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one whom he has sent. Now, most of the religions, probably all the religions outside of Christianity are based on works of one kind or another. And in many of them, the best hope is you can just get a higher level in hell, not anything beyond that. Or you can come back as some other kind of a being, you know, maybe a higher being or something like that in your progression of things. Religion is strange. Religion is strange, but a relationship with God is simple when you keep it simple. This is the only work that God wants from you is to believe. To believe in the one whom he has sent. You say, well, I'm struggling with that. Well, God will help you if you begin to reach out towards him. Because when you begin to say, yes, that's for me, the Holy Spirit begins to confirm that in your heart. Yes, that is for you. And yes, you can have it. And yes, you can have peace that surpasses understanding. You can guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus because of him, because of what he did, because he paid the price, and because he sent the Holy Spirit to be the seal of your salvation. Praise the Lord. So so let's look to God. Look to Jesus, the author, the developer, the finisher of our faith.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.